Product Breakfast Club. Oh, Product Breakfast Club. Product Breakfast Club.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Product Breakfast Club. I'm your host in San Francisco, Jake Knapp.
I'm your other host, Jonathan Courtney, here in Berlin, in my kitchen, listening to your dog barking while I watch the fish that I'm cooking, hopefully not burn, in the world's most unprofessional podcast ever created.
This could be one of the worst ones ever created.
I like it.
If you hear my dog barking in the background, you are going to think, what a horrible person I am. But they're actually... my wife is with the dog right now, and we have to teach him how to be in the crate, which is...
Jesus.
It involves occasional barking. It's actually like the dogs like being in the crate, but there are some times when they're not so happy with it. Anyway, that's what's going on in the background here. No chance of fish burning here, but definite chance of barks.
Yeah.
So, actually, I just recorded a bunch of masterclass ads featuring... the puppy.
Aww,
so
cute.
That could be a fun one for people who are on Instagram and getting retargeted
constantly.
By the masterclass ads. Yeah.
Well, the fun thing about our masterclass ads is that they are the only self-aware ads I see on any platform which refer to themselves as ads, which I think is fun. trying to make them more and more self-aware. Jake, here's what's up, right?
Okay, what's up?
I am going to be flying to Manchester very soon, and that's why I'm cooking. That's why I'm making this podcast really quickly right now. But here's what's up, right? I thought it might be interesting to tell you that I'm going to try out a new type of workshop using the design sprint, but also then combining it with the book Hacking Growth by Sean Ellis. That's what I'm doing in Manchester, 2 days, 2 day workshop. It's called a growth sprint workshop. Here's a prediction for you.
Okay.
I think one of the next big things is going to be people running these growth sprints. Because this book came out, Hacking Growth, it did well, but it didn't really take off in terms of workshops or in terms of like how companies can actually implement this sort of growth work on products within companies. Just to give you an idea, like the idea behind Hacking Growth is like, how do you create experiments that can be specifically created to grow specific things in a product? For example, acquisition or retention or engagement or reactivation, which are the things that every, you know, high growth company is interested in. Every company kind of has its own way of doing it. And much like the design sprint came along with a step-by-step recipe, we're looking into coming up with a step-by-step recipe which combines design sprints and growth hacking. But the reason I'm telling you about this, okay, and the reason I'm telling the audience is that AJ and Smart is not going to pursue this. We are not going to pursue it. We're just doing it as a we're doing it as a one-off experiment. We use it in-house all the time, but we're not going to pursue it as a revenue stream. So anyone listening to this podcast right now, I'm going to tell you, there is so much juicy money to be made in running workshops which take the best of Jake's book and the best of Sean Ellis's book, marrying them together and helping product companies create growth experiments. This is huge. I can already tell you that it sells well and that we're not pursuing it. Why are we not pursuing it? Because we're doing other things, okay? And we can't do everything. And I want to keep the company small and cute and still have time to do the podcast and stuff. So that's what I thought might be interesting for you to hear, the little combo experiment.
Yeah, a little freebie for people. Well, you'll have to report back and let us know how that goes. I feel like Hacking Growth, that was everywhere for a while, but I don't... like you said, like I feel like it's almost a bit under the radar now.
Yeah.
And
disappeared.
Like, isn't this a lot of the tools and techniques you were using to kind of get AJ and Smart on the booster rocket that it's been on in the past couple of years?
100%. Internally, we've been taking the principles of the design sprint and the kind of tools that are mentioned in Hacking Growth and just putting them together for now about a year and a half. Even this week, we ran a little growth workshop for the sprint team. But we've never thought of like, oh, wait a second, this is something that like could be really helpful for companies to run themselves. And I feel like this lack of a step-by-step guide is actually holding people back because the book doesn't really give you clear guidance in the way that Sprint does. So I really believe there's something there for the product world in the way that Sprint was super successful for helping teams come up with concepts and validate ideas. I think that the theories mentioned in the Hacking Growth book around how to build products, how to grow products, really, really work well with your book. And I just see them. I feel like you need to come along and write the growth sprint book because I think you're good at making these recipes. But like I said, you know, it's just not going to be something we're going to go all in on. But I feel like Growth Sprint by Jake Knapp is the next book to come out.
The next big thing.
Next big thing.
I'll probably get sued by Chanel, especially since this is now
recorded.
Everyone will know where I stole the ideas from.
I should bring him on the podcast as well, actually. Shawnee boy.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Bring him into the fold.
Bring him into the fold. That sounds disgusting.
It's just like what does that mean? I think it's from the church, actually.
I thought it was like a skin fold.
Oh, yeah. That is disgusting. thanks, John. Thanks for that. Oh, that's great.
Jake, how is your cute little doggy?
He is so cute that it almost makes up for how insane he is. Like, he has these energy peaks that happen throughout the day now and then. And you just, my gosh. I mean, you know, the thing about puppies is they're babies. They're babies, but they can run around and chew on things. So he doesn't know what's going on. But it's a life experience that I'm having here with the puppy. Definitely learning some things.
I mean, here's something that I always say to people who buy dogs, and they're like, oh my God, it's so difficult. And like, my sister just bought one as well.
Why?
And she's like,
why would I do that?
I'm like, what the fuck is your problem? Why would you make life harder? But then I also had a baby by choice, and that does the exact same thing to your life. You're like, oh God, like, they can say the same thing back to me. Oh, my Amazon Alexa is beeping, which means I need to turn the fish off. Give me one sec there, Jake, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll answer your question while you deal with the fish.
Thank you.
I think we walked into this eyes wide open, knowing the dog was going to be a big hassle. And so the reason for having the dog is really we think it's going to be really good for our boys to have the dog around. And my older son's, he's 15 years old. You know, it's kind of nice for him to have the chance to take care of something a bit. Although the reality, of course, we knew this going in, but the reality is if your parents, you know, if you're going to bring a dog in to your family, the parents are going to end up doing most of the care for the dog. So
yeah.
And the other part of it is we had a kid 15 years ago and 7.5 years ago. And so we're kind of at that cycle in our lives where we're like, well, we're probably ready to like take care of something else. Mm. But there is that sort of just crater of not being able to get anything done that we're kind of in right now as the dog adapts to us and we adapt to him. You know, I think in the things that people do, there's a certain amount of insanity. Even when you know that you're going into it, it's still hard to believe how hard it is. But like you said, creating some time pressure, making things harder can be beneficial. If you keep from having everything disintegrate, there's something just before disintegration that's actually like creatively powerful. And I'm hoping that it helps me focus even better.
And the parallels between, you know, the new baby and what you're describing with the dog, I guess, are very close. And you do these from the outside, I think it seems stupid, like also to have a kid. Honestly, I always thought it was really dumb when people did it. But now I kind of, it's not that I'm like, oh yeah, everyone should do it. I also don't think that. I think it's like, yeah, I get why the really big annoyance of it kind of probably pays off, and it's a nice thing and it's a good thing to do in life. But yeah, at the same time right now, Mariana is just like shitting and crying the whole time. It's very hard to interact with her. But yeah, there are these cute moments where you're like, oh, that's going to be very cute at some point.
It is. Yeah. It is. And you know, a human life, that's a whole, like being a parent, I think, is a whole different level. It's a whole different level in every way.
Yeah.
In terms of reward and the importance of it and everything, it's a good thing to do.
I love dogs though, and Marina doesn't want one.
Yeah, well, you know, things can change. We didn't want one for a long time, and then we finally came around. So who knows? You know, your baby's daughter's name is very similar to your wife's name. Did you guys, are you having any trouble with that, or is that going fine?
We know that and we knew it, but we like the name Mariana so much that we just decided to just like go for it. And Marina's point is like, most of that child's life, she won't be around her mother. So it's a long game. We're doing this for the long game. Jake, I have a question. What about traveling when you have a dog? That's difficult, right? Because you're going to have to like put it in a crate and put the crate in a home or something.
You put the crate just in the woods, you know, and then you hope for the
shoot
best.
It.
yeah. You just have to have the dog euthanized every time you leave and then get a new one when you come back. Yeah, no, that's a trick. So we're going to be traveling less this year.
Nice.
Yeah, we're also like, we have some friends who are into dogs and can house sit for us. You can also have the dog boarded. But it's best if it's like maybe a person that they know, and ideally if the dog can stay at home. It's a weird responsibility. It does not actually make sense to do it.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't.
You are taking on this like huge challenge, logistic challenge, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's kind of crazy. But we'll figure it out. It'll be
yeah,
fun.
It's still cute.
So you told me at the outset of this, we decided to do this podcast recording kind of at the spur of the moment while you're cooking dinner. You said there was a topic.
Yeah.
Is there a topic?
I have to say, I actually lied just to get you on the podcast. No, it was the growth hacking and sprint thing. I do have other topics, but there's like no point in trying to get into them this
week.
We'll
do them another time.
It's fun. I think people like when you and I fart our way into the episode. Now that the podcast is growing and starting to hear a lot more people talking about the podcast, which is really cool. I feel like even though this has been an extremely disrespectful episode so far,
yeah,
with the dog in the
disrespectful
background.
Disrespectful to the listeners. Yeah.
Disrespectful. Yeah. But you know what? You know what, Jake? Do you see any sponsors around?
No.
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly. Squarespace, you know what you can do? MeUndies, where are you? Not on me. Not on me.
Not on me either. Nope.
Exactly. No, I do. You know what? I want to ask you a question because I feel like this will be very unsatisfying. I did hear something today that I thought I'd like to hear your opinion on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it's procrastination makes people feel bad. You know, if you sleep in,
yeah,
if you eat sweets,
yep,
if you whatever it is, all the things that you do that you feel bad afterwards. And you're like, oh, why did I do that? I could have been doing all these other things. What if, by the way, I'm stealing this straight from Chris D'Elia's podcast, which I was listening to today. And also when you sleep in, you do it because it feels good, you know?
Yeah. At the moment, you're like, oh, God, it just feels
so
good. It just lie
exactly
here. Yeah.
Exactly. What if you don't feel bad about the things that feel good? What if?
Whoa. Well, I'll tell you one thing about that. I think that, let's use sleeping in as an example.
Yeah.
When I sleep in, yes, it's nice in the moment, but I actually think that oversleeping messes up my brain. Like, I actually think part of the negative feeling associated with it is stuff that's going on with the sleep cycle being disrupted.
Okay.
Like, because even sleeping longer than normal is a disruption to my normal sleep pattern. And our brains just love routines. So I think, like, with that specific example, it's not just the guilt. I think there's actually like a physiological bad feeling
that
goes with it.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's my take.
We'll get back to it.
Because it's not just like sometimes I have the time to sleep in and I don't even feel bad about like the time lost, but it's just like I actually, my energy sucks that day. And then like my mood can start to suck because of the, like, I think that sometimes there's that, right? I think a lot of times the stuff that feels good, I was just talking about this with regards to Make Time by Make Time, my new book, and
by Sprint.
The thing that I was, this conversation I was having was around like, well, what's so bad about being on Instagram or being, you know, checking email on my phone or whatever? Like, what's so bad about that? And, you know, I was saying like, gosh, that's a good question. There isn't anything so bad about those things. It's just that they can displace other things that might be better. So
long-term fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah. Things that are maybe harder to do, but it's harder to give attention to, like, sometimes if you are a parent and you're at the playground with your kid and you've been there for, you know, 100 consecutive days and you've been there for, you know, 45 minutes, it may be very hard to pay attention to that moment. And yet when you can pay attention to your kids, and as your kids grow up and you realize how fleeting those moments are, it's also very rewarding if you can. I'm also like writing a blog post or, you know, doing some creative project, like learning something new. Those things are hard, but they're easily displaced by guilty pleasures. And so part
Damn
of the
it.
Reason why I think we feel guilt is because we're displacing stuff that we know is more valuable. We're taking the easy way out. And so I think that it sucks if it just stays as guilt. And so a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stuff with Make Time is me trying to figure out myself how to not just feel guilty, but what can I do about it that's reasonable. But, you know, I do think there's a lot of stuff that is fun and like we should allow ourselves to enjoy it. Mario Kart is one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mario Kart is just fun and it doesn't make any sense to play Mario Kart. And it's not a good idea to waste your evening playing Mario Kart. And if you did it every day, I don't think that would be great. But sometimes it feels really good and we shouldn't feel bad about it. So, I don't know.
I think you basically, my half-assed point trying to make this podcast useful I fully nailed it with that question because you had such a good answer to it. Oh my God. I'm going to sleep in so hard tomorrow just to fuck you over on that one. I'm going to sleep till 3 p.m.
We'll see what happens. You're going to feel so good about the sleeping in part. And then you're going to just be like, I don't know what's going to happen. But the physiological response will be devastating. I would highly recommend people search for, let me just make sure that this search actually works before I run it.
Funnygifts.com.
Funny. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. If you search for any of these things, dark playground or why procrastinators procrastinate. This is the Wait But Why article.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, and it's so good.
He talks about this idea. This is Tim Urban. Talks about this idea of the dark playground. He was talking about this when you and I were chatting with him. It's just this idea of like the way it feels when you're doing a thing that you know you don't want to be doing it. You're procrastinating doing something else. And it's not even joyful to do the thing, but like you can't stop doing it. You can't get away from the dark playground.
Yeah.
If you're doing the thing and I guess a part of it is if you're all in on the thing, right? If you're all in on the whatever sort of like indulgence it is, then it's okay. But if you're like, if it's the dark playground for you, if you know you're putting off something else,
yeah,
then maybe that's part of the reason why stuff feels bad. Anyway, I'll stop talking.
Can I leave you with a dirty little secret? And the only reason I'm telling you is because I know this episode is coming out in 2 weeks. No, a week, but it's after the workshop. Speaking of procrastination, who do you think is going to be running a humongous brand new workshop on Monday and Tuesday next week in a different city, but doesn't have one slide ready yet?
Is it Jonathan Courtney?
There's high potential that it's me. I know a lot of the people who are going to be at the workshop. Look, hopefully you're hearing this and you really had a great time at the workshop, but like, I cannot bring myself to sit down and make slides. It's one of the things that I really despise doing. I know you do a great job of it and something that you're just overall good at, but I want people to know who are listening to this podcast, I often leave things till the last second because I really hate preparing. I love running AJ and Smart and I love doing all the work that I have to do there. And it's like difficult to stop myself doing it, but I like doing things that are almost like in the moment and I fucking hate preparing for stuff. So,
well, I don't even know. No, you know what? I am absolutely the same. And a big reason why the design sprint even exists as a thing for me was I noticed that actually it was a colleague of mine, Michael Margolis, who I worked with for many years at Google Ventures. And at that time was working with on at Google proper. And he said, have you ever noticed that, Jake, that when you, and literally he was talking about me because he was my manager at the time. He said, have you ever noticed that when you have a deadline, you get a lot more done? And like that was especially true for me. And part of the thing with the design sprint was starting to manufacture a situation where for my own self, because I needed it, but also I mean, it's true for teams of people. A lot of people behave in this way. When there's a deadline, we can snap into focus. We can get a lot more done. And so the design sprint was always kind of like working backward from a deadline and using that to galvanize everything, the cooperation, the focus, all that stuff.
I think that there's an extra level to it that you're not even thinking about. So deadlines for me, so my deadline is Monday. It's Friday right now. I need to travel to a country and give a huge workshop and I still haven't started it. So I don't think it's even that. I think you're missing one point. And I think the point is that the design sprint, and by the way, this is why I think it works for me so well and why I run like mini sprints. I've been running mini sprints pretty much every day for the last 2 weeks to get the OKRs created at AJ and Smart. I think it's also the element of real-time work in a group that pretty much forces you to get things done or else you'll just like kind of look stupid.
Totally, totally. Peer pressure.
Yeah,
totally.
The design sprint builds in this real-time work that you have to get done. And it's not something where you can just say, oh yeah, I'll just do that later. You need to complete these mini exercises and that just forces me to get stuff done. And it's so great. And I remember 2 years ago working for clients and I'd just be like sitting down looking at the wireframes just like, Oh God, I know I can just like, I'm just going to get a coffee. And I always felt so bad. And I think the design sprint by sprint, obviously, I think the design sprint has really helped me. I think actually I feel good after hearing that because one of the reasons I'm not really willing or excited to make this presentation for Monday, even though I'm excited to do the workshop, I'm just not excited about putting these slides together, was because I'm not going to have to do it in real time in a workshop setting. And I just didn't put it together like that. But it's all going to be fine. But I think the design sprint is deeper than just the deadline. It's this like collaborative, real-time work, and peer pressure. And I think you nailed it on that one, Jake.
Oh, yes. All right. Well,
you know,
on that note, maybe we should shift over to the interview. Actually, there's one question I want to pose to our audience.
Uh-oh.
I haven't mentioned this idea to you yet, but I bought a Dungeons & Dragons starter set for, let's say, research purposes for my science fiction book.
Yeah, right.
And I thought it could be fun to have an episode where we played Dungeons & Dragons on the air. Maybe we could get a couple folks from your team to participate. And I want to know, I don't care what you think about it, John. I want to know.
I love it. I love it.
Listeners are interested that they should send us a message. Send you a message on Instagram or send me a message. You send me an email. It's hey@jakeknapp.com. If you would like to hear Product Breakfast Club episodes where we're playing Dungeons & Dragons, that, I mean, it won't become the whole podcast, but like maybe one or two, let us know what you think.
Jake, I actually think it's a great idea. And I've had another thought, all right? I just realized that this is almost a 30-minute episode, and I feel like it's actually not too bad. I feel like this episode's good enough to just go out.
That's a good idea. And
hey,
I also like it because it's so unprofessional.
Yeah, it's
sponsored. The
Cash App is the number one app in the MeUndies. And make sure that you subscribe to Squarespace, because they would obviously be sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, obviously. And Emirates First Class.
Emirates First Class.
They sponsor Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, so I'm sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did I talk about that already, or were we talking about that in real life? I can't remember if that was on the podcast.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, he reads it out really like a matter-of-factly, even though you wouldn't think he would do that.
I was like, really, Malcolm? Really? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was interesting. Although, hey, who am I to judge? Malcolm Gladwell should be able to fly Emirates First Class if he wants to. He's a big deal. And he's probably going somewhere where they're going to expect him to talk and really, you know, be well-rested. Okay. But they have literal showers. That's what he was talking about. They have literal showers on the plane. That seems
literal
a little...
Literal showers.
I mean, I'm not going to get too self-righteous about, like, the environment, but that is kind of crazy because you got to fly all that water around. Anyway.
That's it, Jake. I got to go feed.
You got to go. Yeah.
I got to go feed my wife.
John, good luck with that fish fry. Good luck with those slides. And
give us a 5-star review and tell everyone you love this product design podcast. And definitely don't start them on this episode. Also, Jake, I don't know if you noticed, but 2 episodes ago, I had a guest on an episode with a guy called Ryan Warrender from Google.
Yeah.
Did really well, actually. The episode is now gone. You will see that it's no longer on the podcast app. The reason for that, I'm going to keep as a running mystery of the show from now on.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Episode 61. Is that what it is? The ghost episode?
Yeah, it should be gone. Yeah, it should be gone. So basically, you'll see that we're going from 60 to 62 to 63. And slowly, over the next 2 years, we will reveal what happened to that episode.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, man, the fish is probably getting so soggy. Jake, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast so last minute. It was delicious.
Thank you for getting it in there right before your fish dinner. Enjoy Manchester, and we'll talk to you next week.
Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.